Just a moment, please, for the reading word of God. Open your Bible to Mark chapter number 16. I'm under the impression you still want me to preach a little bit, Brother Sexton. Mark chapter number 16, find your place in the word of God, and we'll be up by midnight Alabama time. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15 and 16, we all could about quote it. And could I say, especially in a mission conference, shame on you if you can't quote it. But anyway, Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, the Bible said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God for this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, again tonight as I have looked at these presentations, my heart wants to say one more time, thank you, dear Lord. You let me be born in America, the land of Bibles, the land of churches, the land of Christians. Lord, all of my life, as long as I can remember, I've had access to the Word of God, the house of God, and the people of God. Yet, Lord, I'm aware of the fact tonight there are people who are living that are older than I, that have never been to church. They've never seen a Bible. They do not know one Christian. And they live in heathen darkness, and one day they'll lift their eyes in a Christless hell. If we have the gospel, do not get the gospel to them. Help us, Father, as our Lord said, to be up and about the Father's business, to work while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So I pray this evening now, Father, you help me these moments. Say what I need to say. You do what you want to do and what needs to be done. And for what you do, Father, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please. You've seen him with a message for tonight from the Word of God. Get my microphone turned on so I can step back a little bit there. But I'm going to take just a few moments this evening. I do not plan to preach long. But I want to look at this verse. I just sat down the other day and just jotted down some things. And I want to break this verse apart and then give you what I believe the Lord wants me to in the service tonight. When I look at this verse of Scripture, and he, that word he, reveals to me the master of missions. It's not Brother Sexton's idea. It's not Brother Ballou's idea. It's not the missionary's idea. But it's the resurrected Lord who's saying that to his disciples in that verse of Scripture. Then I notice not only there's the master of missions, but there's the mandate of missions. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. I want to say to you tonight, I've said it many times, that is not a choice but a commandment. It's not an option but an obligation. God doesn't say where to go if or after or when. God said do it. Do it. The responsibility of the church is missions. The mission of the church is missions. And any group of people can call himself a church, but if we ignore the Great Commission, we're no more than a social club or civic organization. Then as I looked at that verse, I saw not only there's the master, there's the mandate, but there's the measure. All the world. You cannot preach a gospel in the wrong place. You cannot preach to the wrong person. Anywhere there is a sinner, there is a mission field, and that sinner's included in the measure of the Great Commission. I looked at that verse again, and I saw the method of missions. Preach. Preach. I have a British friend that I hear him say, preach. 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 The mandate of missions. Now, there's a lot of ministries, a lot of things you might be involved in. But the primary purpose of missions is preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, and churches established for the glory of God. that I looked at that verse of scripture and I saw the fifth thing I saw was there's the message of missions. Preach the gospel. Not old wives' fables. Not graveyard stories. Not just personal ideas or philosophies. Not just some man-made idea. I'm telling you, God's been burning in my mind again this week. The gospel is the power of God. And the salvation to everyone that believeth. There's not a sinner so far away that the gospel can't bring him home. There's not a sinner so deep in sin, but what the gospel has the power of God to change him from a sinner to a saint and bring him into the family of God, to the field of God, and a future in the work of God. The gospel still works. There's the motive of the gospel, that sinners might be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, not included here tonight, but I want to take these few moments. I want to talk about the money for missions. The money for missions. I said to you last night, and I have preached this for all these years that I've been doing missions. When you look at John 4:35, there's a harvest down there. The harvest is plenteous, it's precious, it's perishing. But we have an expectation from God that we reach that harvest. And I said to you that we must visualize the harvest. Then we must analyze the harvest then. And how do we do it? How do we reach the harvest? Three great things. Number one, we need mighty power. Somebody got to get a hold of God. Number two, we need manpower. As I preached last night, somebody got to go. But number three, we got money power. We got to have money power. Somebody got to give. Brother Sexton, I ran across something. God brought it to my attention last year. And it could even been after I was here. I may have said this year last year. But it's been about a year since I run across this. My wife and I have three children. A daughter, a son, and then 9 years and a half later, another daughter. When we grew up, when the children were growing up, of course, we protected our children, as I know your parents do when they're very small. But after they got teenagers, mid-teens and up, down the road, Brother Bud, from the house, maybe a half a mile, was what we just called the country store. My wife would say to me, I need a dozen eggs. We need a loaf of bread. We need some, y'all know what I'm talking about. We need. And after they got big enough, I would say to Donna, I'd say to David, Mama wants some eggs. Mama wants some milk. Run down to the store and get Mama a gallon of milk. Anybody understand that language? But there was always one act that preceded or coincided with that statement. Anybody know what it was? I expected to pay for what I ordered. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Now there were times, Brother Doolittle, after they got grown more and working, had some own money, you know, they would go buy sometimes themselves. But if I ordered it, I expected to pay for it. You think God's going to fall short in that part? One day I learned, and I know this is not the typical thing, but I'm not the typical thing either. But one day I learned, if God ordered it, God planned on paying for it. It marvels me. It blows my mind. You know, the Lord gave the Great Commission now nearly 2,000 years ago. And Brother Sexton, can you imagine the day he gave it, he knew what it was going to cost? I mean, to the end. And he gave it anyway. Planning on paying the bill. I can say to all you missionaries tonight, before God ever called you, before you ever knew God was calling you, God had done, let me say it plain, God had done sat down and took out his little pencil and pad. He didn't have to do that. But God had done sat down and said, I'm going to call Ben Williams and his family to be a missionary. What's it going to cost? And God's got everything they're going to need for the entire journey already prepared for them. It's just their job to walk faithful and collected as God hands it to them. I remember one missionary family from the very beginning. He told him, he said, that God's already raised 100% of my support. I just got to find it. Amen. But God doesn't expect me to pay his bills. Now that'll help you if you get a hold of that. Yes, we're used in it, and I'm glad we are. But God's going to provide what we need for our world mission. Now, let me give you this, and I know I've said this before. But look at me just a moment. If you agree with me, give me an amen. Amen. There's a God in heaven. Amen. That sounds like Southern Baptist. Amen. There's a God in heaven. Amen. That sounds a little bit better, but let's get into Pendleton Baptist. There's a God in heaven.
Amen.
There's a world going to hell.
Amen.
That God loves that world enough, he gave his son to die for him.
Amen.
And the same God that gave his son to die for him said, all the silver and all the gold are mine.
Amen.
Now, what kind of God would it be that would give his son to die for the world and set up in heaven and hoard the money needed to pay the bill? What kind of God would it be that would call a missionary to go to the field and then not provide support for it? What kind of God would it be that would tell the church to send the missionary and not provide money for the church through the members? Boy, my amens are getting quiet now. What kind of God would it be that would lay upon my heart or your heart to give to the mission program and not supporting it? I'll make a statement, big statement. I want you to hear it. When it comes to this matter of God providing the missions, there is no if in the formula.
Right.
I'm not fussing if you did this. I did as a young man. Boy, if God will provide. I remember one time I was talking to a young preacher about a situation I don't want to get your mind off on tonight, so I'll not name it. But it was something that he was doing and really he knew was wrong, but he still wasn't ready to give it up. And then he got under conviction, so he started to give it up. And he said, preacher, I'm going to give it up if God's grace is sufficient. I said, what? He said, well, if God will have, what? Come on, if don't fit in God's formula. It just don't work. No, the if was on our part. God said, if my people, but we don't ever have to say, if my God, God will.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Right. Yes.
God will.
Yes.
If I could get a change of mind, a change of thought set, we don't have to beg God to give to missions. Now there are times, Pastor, I want to be honest and open to you people. There are times that God purposely tries our faith. I mean, I want to tell you something. Faith promise given, you won't find it coming in the mail every Thursday, so you'll have it ready for Sunday. God will not crank up Elijah's ravens and fly it into you on Saturday. So no, sometimes we do pray and God calls us to pray. And we ought to pray if it's not there. We ought to consider our faith promise commitment a very serious commitment. God don't provide this week. Go ahead and give it anyway and watch God put it back. And God's spoon's bigger than your shovel. He will not let you outgive him. But I'm saying to you, if we ever learn, it's not my bill, but God's bill. Shortly after I left here last year, Brother Sexton, I had never done this before, that I recall. My wife and I now are in our 43rd year of giving by faith promise missions. Shortly after we left here last year, our church went through some financial crisis and I raised my faith promise commitment over another $100 a month. And you know what God didn't fuss?
Right, brother. Right.
And God didn't fail.
Right. Yeah, right.
And we
we did it. By the way, we're still doing it. I didn't drop it in the year. We just went ahead and raised it. I'm telling you, God will provide. It's not if God will. It's if we believe God.
God will. Now watch me just a moment. I'll deal with this more the Lord willing on the Lord's day. God sets up three types of giving in the Word of God. Number one, the Bible teaches tithing. Need an amen right there. The tithe in the Word of God is the first 10% of our income. Does not belong to us, it belongs to God. And God entrusts us with specific instructions. We're to separate His from ours. We're to bring it to the place which He chose to put His name in this dispensation, the church. That is the church. We're to dedicate it to God. And then, my friend, we're to do it in a spirit of worship and a spirit of rejoicing. And as we give that into the church, then that money is designated in the Word of God to take care of the normal operations. If I could use our common sense, to pay the bills of the normal function of the church. Take care of the man of God. Take care of any other staff members. Take care of the facility. It's God's way of maintaining financially the work of local church. And above that, God instituted free will offerings. Free will offerings in the Bible were set up in the Word of God for the purpose of special needs that arises in the life and ministry of the church. And I don't say this for a laugh. If you've been around a Baptist church very much, you find out there's always something coming up. We need to take another offering. And by the way, preachers, don't be ashamed to take offerings. Give your people the opportunity to get in on the blessing of giving in free will offerings. You say, Brother Blue, all you talk about is give, give, give. Yeah, but there's another side. You know what God said if you'd tithe, He'd do? He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Part of blessing. You can't receive. I'm going to be honest. I've been preaching 55 and a half years. But Sexton, I don't know exactly what all that means. But I done volunteered. I'm a candidate to find out. Amen. I'm a candidate for them blessings that I don't have room enough to receive. In case you're wondering about it, I've been in on a few of them too. You said, what about the free will offering? God said, give and it shall be given unto you. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but somebody mentioned this a while ago. I don't remember who mentioned this a while ago. You talk about hillbilly language. Redneck language. God said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. If you don't know what that means, you're not a redneck. That means pile on. Then He said, press down. Then He said, shake them together. And then He said, and run them over. Shall men, God said, I won't let you outgive me.
Amen.
And I raise my hands tonight as a living testimony. I've tried it and I've not succeeded in outgiving God. His spoon's bigger than my shovel is. And bigger than yours is as well. But then there's a third type of giving in the Word of God. And that's missions giving. Now watch me just a moment. The tithe is fixed. It's 10% across the board. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how much you make or how little you make. 10% of your income, the first 10%, by the way, does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Nobody got to pray how much my tithe is, and ain't no need you praying, God, can I get out of this? Fixed. It's fixed. Free will offerings fluctuate. We're going to put in a dollar bill, a five, a ten, a 20. All of us have done that. And a bigger offerings, bigger needs. Usually the size of the need, how much we love the need, how much we can give, factor into a free will offering. But the mission offering, here's the secret, is to be done by faith. I want to say this without any harshness or without any scolding in my mouth, in my mind, my heart want to say it. If you don't believe what I've just told you in the last few minutes about God providing money for missions, it probably won't work in your life until you learn to believe it. I didn't say stop giving, just learn to start believing. But God will provide. And I want to say this. God not only provide money for missions, God will even drop a few handfuls of purpose every once in a while.
God will kick off a handful here and a handful there. I'm telling you, could I scream it from the housetop? You don't lose by giving the missions by faith. Now quickly, let me give you a summary of what I'm talking about and we'll finish as far as my part of the service is concerned. Faith promise giving to missions is not me telling God what I can do. In fact, I've been saying this pretty harsh for the last year, preacher, and I have a tender heart, though I speak harshly. I want to say it tonight. Everybody look up here a minute. I got a message for you. Stop telling God what you can't do. And let God show you what He can do. Did you hear what I said? Stop telling God what you can't do. And by the way, stop telling God what He can't do. Because what He can't do, you've not figured out yet. Let God show you. Now here's a basic principle of faith promise giving. You personally, it's personal giving. Do not go to, and you know I'm not being disrespectful, but don't go to Brother Sexton and say, preacher, what do you think I ought to give? Right. Don't go to Brother Bud and say, Brother Bud, what are you giving? Right. Go to God. Go to God with a simple question, Lord, what do you want me to give? You know, if Hannah had went to anybody else, nobody was for her giving that baby boy. I'm going to get in trouble, preacher. Even her husband said, well, I'm better to you than 10 sons. He's trying to talk her out of it. Go to God. Go to God with a simple but sincere prayer. Lord, lay on my heart what you want me to give to missions, and that giving to missions is above my tithe, any other commitment I've got here. And if you'll listen, God will, in that still small voice, lay on your heart an amount He wants you to give. Now, one of the things that I've stressed through these years, and I'm going to stress it again tonight, we don't want you filling out a faith promise commitment in a high moment of emotional meeting. I mean this right, preacher. I love tears. I'm not derogatory, please, at all what I'm saying. But we don't need you filling out a faith promise commitment while tears running down both sides of your face, and then when the tears quit running, the money quits coming.
Right.
In a serious, sincere, quiet time alone with God, Lord, lay on my heart. Speak to my heart. Put an exact figure on my heart, an amount on my heart you want me to give to missions. I don't want you to do it in the time of emotions. I don't want you to do it in the time of excitement. But do it in your own secret time with God between now and the Lord's day. Lord, what do you want me to do? And listen to me now. Listen to me. If God lays something on your heart, He intends for you to do it. He means for you to do it. I mean, God's not going to say $20 if you want to. If you don't want to, you know, you can take plan B and go 10. God's not saying I want you to give $5 or $10 a week. And God won't say I want you to give whatever you feel like giving. There's a lot of difference in feeling like and faith in like. I know those Baptists. I've pastored all those years. I've pastored or pestered whatever I've done. And I've preached all these years to Baptist folk. And Baptists want to do it when I feel like it. All I got to say is, you don't feel like it often enough. How'd you like to be a missionary on the foreign field waiting on Baptists like you to feel like sending you some support? I like to tell them, Brother Sexton, if they're going to operate on feel like it, if they want me to believe, they really think you ought to do things when you feel like it. Go to work Monday morning, tell your boss man don't worry about payday, just whenever he feels like it. Some reason that dog don't hunt on the job, does he? Let me say this serious for you who are new converts and new members and don't understand this. It's that simple. It is serious.
It is serious. It's something between you and God. The pastor can't tell you. The deacons cannot do it. The finance committee cannot do it. Mom and dad can't do it unless you're a small child. And I do believe in children given, but I believe in parental supervision for small children. We don't need a child. I was in a meeting just a couple of weeks ago, and they got a card in preacher that some little kid had wrote $1 million on it. That, you know, you can tell by the writing, it just somebody couldn't print very well. We don't need any of that. We don't need some child circling $100 a week. So if a child is small, they ought to have some parental supervision. Let them give, but let it be under mom and daddy's supervision. Come on, say amen. But every one of you, go to God for yourself. Lord, what do you want me to trust you to give through me? It's that simple. When God lays it on your heart, can I say this? And I wish I could come up with a better expression of what I'm fixing to say. If God lays it on your heart to do it, is He joking?
No, sir.
Absolutely not. He's serious. Let me close with this. Whatever God tells you to do, rest assured, God has plans made for the provision for that.
Right.
We love the word Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide, but I say this across the country, God's not only a God of provision, God's a God of prevision. He sees the need before the need arises so He can have it there when you need it.
Sure.
He said to Elijah about the ravens, I have commanded.
Yes.
I'm not an English major, but I think that means he talked to the ravens before he talked to Elijah.
Uh-huh.
He said, I have commanded the widow woman. He talked to the widow woman before he talked to Elijah.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. God is not going to lay an amount on your heart to give to missions and say, now don't start for 3 months while I figure out how to get it to you.
Right.
Provisions are already prepared. So you who have been giving in faith, promise giving, you know what to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lay on my heart. And I encourage you. I don't bat my eye to say this. Pray about an increase. If God laid a man on your heart last year and He provided it, that alone ought to be enough for us to trust Him a little more. Amen. Pray about an increase. Hannah gave Samuel one time. But every year she brought him another gift. You remember what it was? She wrapped her first gift up in a little coat. You know what she figured out? What she found out, preacher? Last year's coat wasn't big enough for this year's boy.
Amen.
Brother Sexton, why do we have this meeting every year? Pardon my illustration, but my wife and I have a son, and when he's about 11, 12, 13, none of you families know what I'm talking about. We'd go get him a pair of trousers, and they'd be pants, their pants where I come, and they'd be dragging the ground, and about 4 or 5 months goes by. Jesse, I was looking how much you've run up since the last time I seen you. You're not got any prettier, but you sure have got taller. I said, Mama, them britches are drawing up. And she said, no, Daddy, the boy's growing up. We never went back and bought the same size.
That's right. Good.
We have a mission meeting every year, so you can check. You can make a faith promise, Brother Bud, and it's almost like they're dragging the ground. But a year goes by, you hear preaching, and God provides, and a year goes by, and you look down and say, you know, I need a bigger size.
You're right. Amen.
You who have been involved, ask God about what He wants you to do as an increase. I'm not saying everybody's got to increase, but you ask God. Somebody might say, well, I'm on fixed income. Who fixed it?
Yeah. Come on. Woo.
Don't limit God just because you're on fixed income. God can supply needs for us in our old days and those in the retirement situation. I am in sympathy with those who have a limited income. But if you ask God what God tells you to give, you obey God. God will provide. And to you who are new, God, and I can't point all this out more than that, but God even uses the word experiment. It's right there in the King James Bible. Ask God what He wants to do. You said, would God do it for me? God said, try it and see. Find out what God wants you to do. and start. I've told this so many times, but one more time won't hurt. I have three mountaintop experiences that have made my life what it is today. I'm talking about my spiritual life. Number one, God saved me. Number two, God taught me to preach. And number three, God taught me faith, promise, giving. That's what I am tonight. I'm a saved, God-called preacher that God has taught to give by faith. So again, and especially to you who have not been involved in before, just start a simple prayer. Say, I don't know what to pray. Pray like Paul prayed on the road to Damascus. Lord, what do you have me to do? God heard and answered that prayer. He didn't hear an answer. Lord, lay on my heart. And I promise you, whatever God lays on your heart, you make sure it's God, start doing it, and watch God take care of it. Now, the cards are here if you want to pass them out tonight, preacher, or we'll do that Sunday. And if for some reason you're not going to be here on the Lord's Day, then maybe you take one of the cards and get it into somebody if you know. And hopefully we're all back here by tomorrow, much less the Lord's Day. But whatever it is, we should be back by Sunday, I believe for sure. But be sure and pray about it. And then all I got to say to you is this, and pastor's coming. Believe God enough to obey God. If God said it, it's on the way. If we'll possess it by faith. Father, honor your word, use it to your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Well, we've got some praying here, so why don't we have a little verse or two of a song, Brother Allen, while some praying. And maybe you need to pray, maybe something on your heart, not related to the message even, that you might need to pray about. I don't know. We want to give you an opportunity to be obedient this evening.